we're blessed this morning because Willem is with us. And yeah, great stuff. And some 18 months ago, well, about 2 years was it that you had to go back to South Africa from us? Is that right? Yeah. With no assurance, no certainty that he would be coming back, but we did have an assurance in our spirit, naturally, though not on paper, that God was calling him back here. So we were praying into that. And to cut the long story short, Willem and Emily were dating. They then married 13th of September, 15th of September just gone. You just told me 13. He did say 15. 15th of September, they got married in South Africa. They came back and had a blessing. Found out in October that Willem had the visa to come and stay here. And so Emily and Willem, incredibly, miraculously, really, are now living in the village. And God provided them with a fantastic home just down the road from here. So we are so grateful to God to have Willem. And can we show him our love and appreciation, even before he preaches, by putting our hands together to welcome him?
Actually South African, although someone said that I sound a bit more Dutch, Germany. I suppose I am Afrikaans, so that could be the thing. But yeah, so I worked or volunteered here 2 years ago, and it was a great experience. I was an intern here with my friend Simon. It was awesome. It really, really was. And although sometimes it was extremely stressful, not being in the church, but being with Simon, my mate. It was honestly the building blocks to where I sort of started my whole sort of spiritual walk, really, and where it picked up in momentum and just took off, really, I think. You know, I always had this desire to come to England. When I was in grade 10, I felt God say, you will go to England. So I didn't know how I was going to get there. I was like, okay, I don't have the money to get there. I'm too young to work, so let's do this, you know? Why not? Kids are allowed to dream. So off we went, and still in school, finishing school, so I said, right, matric, which is like our end of school. I said, right, this is the day. This is the time I'm going to come to England. And it wasn't, actually. God said, not now. So I waited another year. And God just taught me so much in waiting that... It honestly was just such an eye-opener in the sense that God speaks to you when you wait for Him.
Yeah.
And it was just such a great experience. When I eventually got here, my visa expired, obviously, so I had to go back to South Africa. I felt called to go to Cape Town. Beautiful place. I highly recommend it. And it's honestly really beautiful. God really blessed me there, matured me, and taught me so much about everything, really. And... sort of leads me to my sort of talk today. I saw a picture whilst I was out there about elements you need to survive. And I thought to myself, well, this applies to me. Because there were times when it did get tough, when you don't know anyone, you're in a massive city, and you gotta see what you need rather than what you want. Mm. And it was quite funny because I tell myself, I want to need something. You know, I really want to need an Xbox. I mean, an Xbox is like a gaming console or something like that. So I continuously tell myself that. And obviously I came to England because I married my beautiful wife, Emily, there. And yeah, so it sort of led me to think about what we actually need to survive. And no, it's not your cell phone, to the young guys. It's not your cell phone. It's not your Facebook. It's not really anything of modern standards. Rather... they are water, air, food, and light. Those are the four basic things that we need to survive. If you crack it down, anything else you don't really need to survive. Elements we need to survive. So, the first thing that I want to sort of tackle is water. Water. Drink. Have any of you ever been thirsty? I was just thirsty then. Put up your hand if you've ever been thirsty. So the sort of symptoms of being thirsty is your mouth gets dry, doesn't it? It actually hurts to swallow. It's not comfortable having your mouth really dry. It hurts. Obviously, then, if you stay thirsty for a long amount of time, you have this thing called dehydration, where it could be fatal, unfortunately. And it's a sad fact, the fact that we need water to survive. Without it, we get dehydrated and we could die. So that leads me to my thought of, what does the Bible say about this? How does the Bible address this need? And I'm going to be tackling both physical and spiritual needs in this. So John chapter 4, verse 10 and 14 is page 750 in the blue Bibles. Verse 10 says, Jesus answered her. This is the story of the Samaritan and Jesus at the well. Jesus asked her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was asking you for a drink, you would have asked him for a drink and he would have given you living water. Yet again in verse 14 it says, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, it's not necessarily speaking about literal water, although our bodies are made up of majority water and liquid. It does not mean that water will just come out of your mouth. It would be a bit weird if that were to happen. So what it actually means here is the spiritual longing, the spiritual need for water, the spiritual need to be taking of Jesus and just for him to satisfy our thirst. Now, it goes on to say that in us, this will become a well of living water. And it's such a beautiful picture in the sense that it's true. Have you ever been to a restaurant, a really good restaurant? I've been to Nando's. I highly recommend it. It's great. But have you ever been to a really good restaurant? Put up your hand if you have. I ask you to put up your hand because it makes me feel comfortable. And so, yeah, you've been to a good restaurant. And I bet you £10 that you told someone about it. Mm-hmm. You had such a good experience at that restaurant, you had to go to someone and say, mate, Nando's down the road is good. The chicken there is lovely. You had to tell someone about this experience you had. The same applies here. This well of living water within us. Once we've drinking it from Jesus, we have to tell people about it. It flows from within us. Yeah. And flows out of us to other people. That's the whole point of drinking of Jesus. And the fact that we have to take in to give is such a beautiful thing because we continuously need to. If I drink this, it's not going to boom, water again. I have to fill it up again so that I could drink it. Yet the same principle applies. I need to be filled to give. So do you. Sort of next one that I wanted to touch on was air. Air is just, it's hard. It's quite a hard one to get a picture of. So, I mean, how do you, what's air? How do you take a picture of air? Nothing, I suppose, would be a good one. But I thought to myself, clean air is a good, you know, a good symbol of what we're actually talking about here. And there's not really much you can say about air other than the fact that you need it to survive. I don't think there is anything that you can really have without air. Everything needs air in some way or another. Air is a fundamental part of our existence. Scientifically, as well, we need it. Without it, we die, unfortunately. I had a chat with Emily about fish. Do fish have air? Like, they breathe in water, don't they? Like, don't they take out bubbles in the water or something? I don't know. Please tell me afterwards. They do? Thank you. Yes. I won that debate. So the Bible speaks about, you know, God giving us this air. Yet again, God is providing us with one of our fundamental needs. He provided for our water by giving us living water through Jesus. How do we get the water? We go to Jesus. Now he's providing air for us. How do we get air? Well, we go to Jesus. It's quite simple, because the answer is Jesus, you know? So, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it is page 4 in your blue Bible. Now, I love this sort of verse, of just the picture it shows. It says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from dust, from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." This image that God shows us in this passage is just such a beautiful one. It not only shows life, obviously, as an end result, it shows intimacy, it shows closeness. Have you ever tried to pick a coin up from the floor? I can't touch my toes, so I'll have to kind of go down and pick it up. Imagine God saying that he was going to form us. He has to get down on his knees and literally form us. Has anyone ever built a sandcastle? Those things are difficult to build. It's never been good. I just built sand piles. That's my castle. Castle on the mount. That's it. Wait. Anyway. So God forms us out of the dust of the earth. Then he breathes into our nostrils. That to me shows just closeness. It shows intimacy. It shows, I mean, have you ever had someone breathe in your nostrils? It's horrible. It's horrible, I can imagine. But Jesus and God just show this closeness to us. He breathes down. He literally gets down and breathes into our nostrils the breath of life. And we need that breath. We need that air that God gives us so that we're able to live, breathe, and exist, really. Yes, again, we need air. Job 33, verse 4, speaks about how the Lord God gives us breath. Or no, the Holy Spirit made me, says, but the Lord God Almighty gives me breath. Holy Spirit, God, Jesus are all one, and they all created us to be in their images. It gives us this life through breath. If we breathe in, you breathe in air. Air is not necessarily, the science behind air is not just oxygen, boom. It's multiple gases, and it's just so wonderfully made to work for us. God made that air. There's another picture. I was looking up at the ceiling, and I've never noticed this for some reason. And all those brown dots, the growth points in the wood, just remind me of the stars. And how God breathed them into existence. That beautiful breath. When breath comes, the Holy Spirit comes in like a rushing wind in Acts 2. This breath brings life. Then, of course, we move on to the most important one, to me at least. I really feel like amongst everything, above everything, food is the most important. Like, oh, Christmas has been good. I'm sorry if there aren't any veggies on it or anything. I'm South African, my defense. We eat it like that. So, I love food. I honestly do. Food is, it's amazing. I love the taste, I love the feeling. Just, oh, food. It's amazing. There's not really much else I can say, but jokes aside, we really need it. Without food, we will die of starvation, which is sad because people actually do die of starvation out in the world. I mean, it's we sometimes throw away so much, but forget that people actually need it. The fact that it's such a fundamental need to us just brings value to it. Then I thought to myself, what does the Bible say? You know, how does God provide for this? And I thought I had it. It's like, yeah, gotcha. Jesus doesn't provide us roasts. But instead he says that I am the bread of life. I can live on bread. I mean, it's a good staple. Carbs, diet. It's good. So Jesus says that I am the bread of life. And there's this passage in John 6, 32 to 35, page 753 in your Bible. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Yet again, God's providing for our need. He really is. It's this demand and the supply. Mm. Business is all about that. There's a demand and then people supply the demand. That's how you move on in business. Jesus here says, if you come to me, you will never go hungry again. He boldly declares, "I am the bread of life." There's this picture of the Passover supper, the Last Supper, where Jesus takes bread and he says, "This is my body broken for you on the cross," which we later discover. It's a symbol of bread giving us life. Jesus' body gave us life. Through believing in the resurrection of Christ, we have life. That's why it shows us this beautiful picture of Jesus declaring, "I am the bread of life." He also says that if you come to me, you will never go hungry. That's God saying that I'll provide for your need. I'll provide for your need. When I was growing up, I came from a very poor background. So sometimes you wouldn't necessarily eat. But I survived. And God honestly provided. I can't describe it to you. I can't explain it to you. God provided. It was, my parents weren't believers. I was sort of a believer, still doing the bad stuff. I was like, "Oh, Jesus, you're cool, you know. I'm still going to carry on doing what I was doing." But God provided. Weird thing is that although my parents weren't believers, they always said God would provide. And God just provides for you every meal. Although it wasn't the best food ever, it was still food. And it satisfied the hunger. Jesus here is saying that I will satisfy your hunger. You don't eat something, or you don't go to Nando's, and then as soon as you get home, have dinner, because you're already full up. So if you're already satisfied, you can't take any more in. It'll make you sick. Like, properly sick. So Jesus satisfies us, so therefore we don't have to go to any other person, God, or anything that, any fabrication that we can make up in our minds, we do not have to go to. Because Jesus satisfies our need for hunger. Yeah. Has anyone ever been hungry? Okay, so not many people. I mean, hunger is, it happens. I'm hungry now, I can't wait for lunch. Food is good. But God provides that for us. Where do we get this food? Where do we get this bread of life? Well, Jesus is yet again the answer.
Yeah.
How do we eat it? The Word of God. There's this beautiful picture of saying that we wrestle with the Word. We're chewing on the Word. We're chewing on the knowledge that we've obtained. Mm. It's such a good sort of description of what we do to Scripture. Mm. We chew on the Word so that we will be satisfied through Jesus.
Right.
The next one is, and this is my last one, and it was yet again, the cliche thing to do is light. So, the cliche thing to do is take a picture of the sun, except it'll be extremely bright. So it wouldn't come out quite nicely. So I just thought, you know, this is a cool lamp. It's an Israeli lamp. And it kind of ties in with what I wanted to say quite well. So the next one is, the next sort of thing that we need is light. And it's so important to us because without it, you can't really survive. I mean, mushrooms are horrible. Mushrooms can survive because mushrooms, you know, they live in darkness. Ew, I just feel that's pathetic. Like, I hate mushrooms, and that right there is just from the Lord. They live in darkness. I'm a child of light. That's it. Amen. Hallelujah. So, with light is the absence of darkness. It's a beautiful picture that Jesus is describing himself as light. You know, that's what the Bible says about it. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12, it is page 755 in your Bible, in the blue Bible. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Mm. Yeah. I love how Jesus describes everything that he is as giving life. Mm. Yeah. He is living water, life. Mm. Yeah. He is the bread of life, life. Yeah. He is the breath of life. Mm. He is the light of life. There is life in Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus provides for our needs. Those are the physical needs, that we need to survive. And God provides it for us. And I'm not saying that that's the only thing. Jesus provides for our spiritual needs. Mm-hmm. He directs both of those, all of those four things as being both physical and spiritual. And it's such a beautiful passage in John chapter 8, verse 12, where he boldly declares, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will never walk in darkness." The great thing is that he says there, "If you follow me." Mm. You see, now that doesn't mean that when you're following Jesus, doesn't mean that there won't be darkness around that light. Mm. Because that's a fact. Mm. Have you ever taken a candle and put it in the middle of a room? You still see dark corners where you can't see anything. Mm. However, closest to the light, that's where it's brightest.
Brilliant. Yeah.
And that, for me, is the essence of following Jesus.
Yeah.
The closer we get, the more we are in the light. The further we go, the more we get engulfed by darkness. Mm. Which is a fact. Psalm 119, verse 105, speaks about how the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. Mm. It's such a beautiful verse in the sense that God's Word, Jesus, the Word is Jesus. Mm. In John 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God."
Yes.
It's all confusing in the end, but it's Jesus is the Word, and He is the lamp unto our feet.
Yeah.
He guides us on our every path. He guides us on our every step. So how do we walk in this light? Well, the Word. Jesus' Word, the Bible. The Bible is full of everything that you need. Mm. I remember getting a little Guinness. Is it Guinness?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I always think of... No, not Guinness.
Not the beer.
The
well, right.
Gideon.
Oh, Gideon.
That's it. Close enough. So I had this little Gideon Bible, and when I was in school, I thought to myself, you know, what's the verses that I could read to make me feel better if I'm doing bad in an exam or something? So it had this index, which is lovely, because you could just go to, okay, I'm feeling sad, so let me read these verses and you feel better.
Mm.
The Bible is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it transforms so many lives, not necessarily by people going and researching everything, by basically reading the Word. In Alpha, we're discussing the Bible, the questions that we have against the Bible, the questions we have for the Bible. And the answers are always the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we get the Bible.
Yeah.
They are the answers from.
Yeah.
And people have tried for centuries to debunk the Bible, to say, I, myself, if I admit and be honest, tried to prove the Bible was fallible. I was wrong. It isn't. Honestly, I remember... being here, and Stephen will tell you, I had an argument. I love arguing about the Bible. Debating, and sharing points of view. And I came to Stephen and I said, right, the Bible's wrong. Here's my evidence. Well, he said to me, which I felt very offended by, he said, read the context. So I said, what do you mean? No, I've read the context. It's wrong. So I read the context and I was wrong. And it was great. It was a great experience because the Bible is true. There is nothing wrong with it, in my opinion.
Mm.
So the light of the world doesn't mean that we sometimes lose our way. It doesn't sort of necessarily mean that we always be there. We do lose our way, which is a fact. We do sometimes just look away. Peter looked away when he was walking on the water and he sunk. So do we. We sometimes look away from God. Or we look at something and we think, oh, that's good. But Jesus is on a journey. He's walking. And if we don't stay close to him, we get left behind. But Jesus always says that there is a way out. There's a way out of any situation. And the word, Jesus, the Bible, is the way out. If you get lost, if you're no longer following Jesus, because Jesus is light. So if you're close to Jesus, you won't necessarily need the word, because the word is Jesus. You'll be close to him, you'll be in his very near presence, and you'll be able to see where you're going in your journey. However, if we turn away and we walk in the opposite direction, we need to get back to Jesus. So how do we get back there? Well, the Bible says that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet. Just as we use a torch to navigate ourselves and the electricity goes off. I don't know if that happens here in South Africa, that happens. Electricity goes out, so you use a torch. And you guide yourself back to the staircase, to the switch box, or you guide yourself back to Jesus by using the light, the lamp. So like that of our physical needs, of needing water, air, food, and light, God provides for our spiritual needs. He provides us living water, provides us the breath of life, provides us bread of life, and provides us light of life. So church, I pray that you stay hydrated, that you breathe in good air, and that you eat good roasts, and that you shine bright for Jesus. And I just honestly pray that you guys will be that beacon for people all around you and everywhere around you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.